Happy Halloween Eve, everyone. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
A bonus episode.
Yes. Yes, so today is October 30th. Well, technically, it's a day before. But when you're listening to it, it'll be October 30th, 2021. Like Haley said, this is a bonus spooky season Halloween episode. I'm going to be bringing you guys some spooky content, a story that is probably true. But maybe not. We'll just go with it, though.
Well, I feel like anytime you do any type of, like, ghost, spirit, spooky, like, you know.
Yeah.
You can't ever say things are, like, 100% true.
Right, exactly. So. But it is a really spooky story, and it's very interesting. And I'm sure a lot of you know it because it is related to some pretty popular movies, like Hollywood movies.
I'm excited because I don't watch scary movies, so I don't know anything about this.
Oh, true.
So I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's true. So it'll be like a whole new experience for Haley.
It will be.
Yeah. So before we get started, though, I just wanted to like really quick touch base on the Daniel Robinson case. If you'll recall, I think it was back at the, end of September, we did the four missing people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, one of those persons was recently found, Lauren Cho. They did find her remains, but they are still desperately searching for Daniel Robinson. His father is out in Arizona still, and they will be having a search party, a volunteer search party today. So if you are in the Arizona, specifically like the Buckeye, Phoenix area, and you can volunteer to help this family search for their son and their brother, please reach out to the family. You can contact them on Please Help Find Daniel Robinson on Instagram, and they have a website.
I think the Instagram is just Please Help Find Daniel.
Okay. So Please Help Find Daniel on Instagram.
And we'll link it.
Yeah, we'll link it in the show notes. And they also have a website that you can contact his father and...
Which is... I'm looking up the website right now.
Okay.
So they have two websites. One is www.pleasehelpfinddaniel.com, and then the other one is searchfordaniel.com.
Okay. And we'll have those linked in the show notes.
Yeah, I think the search one is where they're updating on, like, where they're searching, because they're searching literally every Saturday.
Yeah.
And then the other one is just info on the case. And if you haven't heard any of the info, you can listen to that first episode we did, or just go to that Please Help Find Daniel Instagram, because his dad is always updating and has shared the whole story
right. And
everything.
And I've been periodically trying to share stuff on our Instagram. Obviously, there hasn't been a ton of updates, but I don't want him to get lost in the, you know, bustle of everything else going on. So he's been missing since June 23rd. And there's just been no sign of him. So if you can help, please help.
Yeah. Also, really quick, before we get into the episode, I wanted to just quickly give a shout out to Heather. She is the one who suggested covering the Whaley House. And in Thursday's episode, when I covered that, I said that I would shout out whoever suggested it if I figured out who it was. So I did. So shout out to you, Heather, because that was really fun. And we really appreciate case suggestions. And just as a reminder, because we do keep getting some to our Instagram DMs, but it's really hard for us to keep track of those.
Yeah.
So if you guys do have case suggestions, please email them to us at inhumanmonsterpod@gmail.com, because that's just the easiest way for both of us to see them.
Yes. And if you are on our Instagram, if you just go to our link tree, which is linked in our bio, it's at the top. It's a little email / envelope symbol. So just click that and it'll pop everything up. So you don't even have to do anything except for type in the subject line, case recommendation, or if you have a listener tale story, we're still trying to decide what to call that. You can put that in the subject line as well. So yeah. Shout out to Heather. Pew, pew, pew. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because that was a
Thank
fun.
Thank you so much.
Spooky story.
Yeah, it was. And also, okay, two more things real quick. I'm baffled by how many people have commented about that they've been to the Whaley house and have, like, confirmed some of the stories that I shared about.
I read that. I read some, like, smelling cigar smoke and, like, that's insane. Yeah. Like, that's awesome. Yeah,
and, like, seeing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So that's one thing. And then one other thing. I'm sorry if my voice sounds off. I went to a Jonas Brothers concert 2 days ago, and it's a little bit better now, but it's a little raspy still because I was screaming a lot because I love the Jonas Brothers so much. But anyway, I just wanted to say that in case anyone's like, are you sick? No, I just screamed a lot for men that don't know I exist.
Yeah.
Although Joe Jonas does kind of know I exist.
He does.
So
I thought about calling this the bonus Jonas episode just because of that, but
that'd be awesome.
When I come out to visit you in California, maybe we can go to the Whaley house. That would be so fun.
Oh my gosh.
And I could like protect you so you're not scared.
Yeah, I'll literally be like grabbing onto your arm the whole time.
Yeah.
That'd be so fun. We should do that. Since you can't come to my bachelorette, we should plan a trip once the twins are old enough for you to leave them. Yeah. And you can come hang out with me and we'll go to San Diego and go to the Whaley house.
Yes. And then go to Disneyland. Perfect. Okay.
Of course.
Okay, so without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into today's story. So I am going to be covering the Perrin family haunting. So if you have heard of this family and know their experience, we'll kind of touch on that a little bit later. But in January of 1971, Carolyn and Roger Perrin and their five daughters moved into an 18th century 14-room farmhouse in Harrisville, Rhode Island. The 200-acre property offered plenty of space for them to raise their girls, Andrea, Nancy, Christine, Cynthia, and April, which is like, wow, that's a lot of girls.
That is a lot of girls. I like their names, though.
Yeah. Very, like, on point for that time, I feel like.
Yeah.
Soon after they moved into the home, they started noticing peculiar things happening.
Oh, no.
Yeah. At first, it was small, harmless mishaps. According to Carolyn, the mother, the broom would go missing or would just somehow find its way from one place to another. No one ever owning up to what, like, how it got there.
Ooh.
Yeah. She would also hear scraping sounds against her kitchen kettle, but no one would be in the kitchen.
Oh, that's creepy.
And very specific, too, I feel like.
Somebody must have wanted, like, tea.
That's what I was thinking. She also allegedly would find small piles of dirt in the middle of her newly cleaned kitchen floor. So somebody was, like, out to get her. They're, like, taking her broom and then sweeping dirt.
Right. It sounds like a kid just trying to, like, fuck around with her.
Yeah, it does. And that's what, like, in the beginning it seemed, like, very harmless and just, like, you know, like, messing around kind of thing.
Right.
Her daughters also began to see and hear spirits in the house, though they seemed innocuous at that point in time. Andrea, who was the oldest sister, would often get questions from her younger sisters asking what's going on and why is this happening, but she wasn't too sure how to respond to them, which I get.
Yeah.
About 6 months after they had moved in, the girls finally decided to share with their mother what they had been witnessing, and their mother reluctantly shared some of her own experiences as well. It was around this time that they began to realize some of the spirits seemed to be angry and maybe not as benevolent as they once had thought.
Okay.
So at this time, Carolyn decided to do some research on the property, which, like, good for you, girl, because I feel like most people don't think to do that.
That's really smart. I would have never thought to do that.
Because then you can kind of, like, know what you're dealing with, you know? Like, right. If it's just nothing or if it's something pretty serious.
Like, if you need to sage the house.
Yeah, or call an exorcist. So she did the research on the property and the home to see if she could uncover any answers as to why this was happening to her and her family. And what she discovered was truly horrifying.
Oh, my God.
First, the home had been in the same family for 8 generations, and many of those family members had died under mysterious or horrible circumstances on the property.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And which is kind of reminding me of your story a little bit.
Yeah.
Because of like the mysterious like deaths and stuff.
Right.
And I will just give a little trigger here. There is mention of suicide. But according to the Black Book of Burrillville, I guess that's how you say that. Burrillville.
I don't know.
The town's former public records book. Over the course of its existence, the property had been host to two suicides by hanging, one suicide by poison, the rape and murder of, I guess I should have gave a trigger for that too. Sorry, guys. The rape and murder of 11-year-old Prudence Arnold by a farmhand, two drownings, and the passing of four men who froze to death, in addition to other tragic losses of life.
Freezing to death sounds like not very fun.
Horrific. Like the worst of the worst.
Like, I hate being cold. Like, I'm the type of person who literally will have my little personal heater on my feet while I work during the day, even if it's like in the 70s outside. So like freezing to death, like, okay, new fear unlocked.
Yeah, that's one of mine too. But burning to death or like drowning, I think kind of are a little bit over that. But freezing to death sounds just horrific.
Now I'm cold.
There were also rumors that a witch by the name of Bathsheba Sherman lived on the neighboring farm. So some sources said that she lived at their farm at one point in time, but then there was other sources that said she lived on a neighboring farm. So the family that lived there prior was, their last name was Arnold, and then her last name was Thayer, and then she got married, and it was Sherman. So I'm going to assume that she lived on a neighboring farm,
right?
But it was just, like, in close proximity.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or maybe even at one point in time, it was, like, on that 200-acre property. I'm not really sure. But there are rumors that this woman, who was known to be a witch, lived on the property or nearby property and could be one of the spirits haunting the Perrin home. Bathsheba allegedly had four children, three of which passed away. She was also rumored to have been a Satanist and had been involved in sacrificing an infant to Satan by stabbing it in the back of the neck with a knitting needle. Yeah. Though the evidence at trial could not be held up, and so she was never charged.
Okay.
Yeah. But the townspeople were not so convinced that she was innocent, and they definitely considered her a witch and tried to stay far away from her.
Good.
Despite rumors, Bathsheba reportedly died as an old woman on May 25th, 1885, roughly 4 years after her husband Judson Sherman's death in 1881. She was buried in a historic Baptist cemetery in downtown Harrisville, not too far from the Perrin home. Local lore believed that Bathsheba had made a pact with the devil in which she was granted youthful beauty, but at a high cost. She was turned into stone upon her death. As a ghost, she was condemned to torture people, possibly out of jealousy for beauty that can never again be hers. And since Carolyn, the mother, was considered a beautiful woman, by all accounts, they believe that Bathsheba must have been jealous of her, and that's why she was targeted.
Jeez.
Carolyn recalls shortly after moving in being visited by a woman in gray, thought to be Bathsheba, whose head was hanging at her side. The woman told her to leave, or she would be driven out with doom and gloom.
Oh my, okay.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah. Carolyn also had received a mysterious stab wound in her leg that seemed to be similar to the one that killed the infant that I mentioned before. She claimed that Bathsheba tormented her emotionally and physically, as if the ghost was actually possessing her.
Oh my God.
She claimed that Bathsheba was constantly hiding things from her, making her feel as if she was going insane.
Oh,
that
no.
is terrifying.
Yeah.
That is just like... gives me the, like, major heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Roger, which is her husband, the father of the five girls, on the other hand, only saw Bathsheba's sweeter side with loving caresses and innuendos.
Okay.
Which is kind of on par for, you know, that kind of era for, like, how witches were considered, you
right.
know. The Perrin family believed that Bathsheba was one of the malevolent spirits that haunted them in their home. However, there were other spirits that lurked around as well. The family would often experience the smell of rotting flesh, and they would see the beds rising up off the floor.
Oh my God.
Yes. There's even, when I was doing my research, there I came across a picture. Now, of course, it very well could have been staged, but where they were experiencing the beds, I guess, like shaking and kind of rising. And one of the girls was being like flung off the bed. And it was like a picture of her like midair, like screaming. And all the other girls were like terrified.
Oh my God.
Like, ah. Yeah, it was really freaky.
That's crazy.
And it was all old and, you know.
Ooh. Nope, 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 nope.
When Roger would enter the basement, he'd often feel a cold, stinking presence behind him. The family would try their best to stay away from the dirt floor cellar, which is where a lot of the like malevolent activity right. seemed to kind of derive from. But the heating equipment down there would often fail mysteriously, and Roger would have to venture down to check things out and try to fix it.
Oh, jeez.
Now we enter into the story, Ed and Lorraine Warren, right. which if you like spooky stuff like me, you know who these people are. But you also may recognize their names from some of your favorite scary movies like Annabelle and The Conjuring, which this story that I'm telling now is supposed to be the inspiration for The Conjuring.
Nope, nope. I have not seen any of that, and I will never. Which is why I'm excited you're telling the story.
Let me tell you, okay, I used to love scary movies, and for a very long time, scary movies have just been garbage, in my opinion. But these yeah. movies were actually pretty good, and they actually scared the shit out of me, so.
Yeah.
If that tells you anything.
I just
especially
can't.
The Annabelle movie.
Oh, no. The only one I watched The Orphan. Or Orphan.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that movie.
I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but my friends made me watch it in college, and I was literally, like, terrified, and it still scares me. So, like, nope. That's, like, the scariest one I've ever watched.
Yeah. Well, so there's a scene in, I think it's Annabelle. I'm pretty sure. And the doll from that movie is real, but it's, like, a totally different looking doll. It's, like, a Raggedy, or not, like, a Raggedy Ann doll. What is it? Maybe it is a Raggedy Ann doll. But they have, in their basement, or like some room in their house, like, and this is real, they have where they have taken items that are said to be possessed, and then they lock them in these like glass boxes.
Oh my God.
So they can't like escape.
Right.
Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
That doll being in there, whew, no yeah. thanks. Uh-uh. I would not have that shit in my house. Like,
no.
You're insane.
And that's why we drink the podcast that I mentioned last episode. They covered a couple of spooky dolls or like possessed dolls, and I'm not going to say their names because they literally had listeners like after they heard the stories were having like all these issues in their lives.
Oh yeah.
And then they had to like, you know, talk to the doll and be like, hey, like, leave me alone now.
Yeah, if you just say the doll's name, it like can find you. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Oh, that really freaks me out.
Yeah.
That's like one thing I will not be looking into or telling because that's just too freaky for me. That's
yeah.
too much.
Yeah. Well, that's how I felt when I was researching this case, because Bathsheba is like in other, I'm pretty sure in like some other stories that I've like read or heard, is a demon. And I was like, I don't even want to type this on my computer. I don't want to search it on my phone.
Right.
Like, I don't know if it's the same thing, but I'm pretty sure, like, yeah. I was like, ugh, I don't want this.
Ooh,
don't want
nope.
it. Nope. Mm-mm. Okay, back to the story. So Ed and Lorraine Warren, they are real people. They are known to be paranormal investigators, and Lorraine was a self-proclaimed clairvoyant.
I've heard of them, I think, on And That's Why We Drink, like, doing different like paranormal investigations.
Yeah, they've done a ton in their time. The Warrens were in Connecticut, which is really close by, I guess, to Rhode Island. I think it's like above it or something. I don't know. I'm bad with geography, but I know they're kind of close to each other. They had been working on other cases of paranormal activity. A family friend by the name of Barbara went to see them because they did investigations all around the area. As soon as the Warrens heard what was going on with the Perrin family, they immediately decided that they were going to investigate.
oh, wow. So these people who had seen shit were like, we're going.
Yeah. So first, Carolyn shared with Ed and Lorraine the incident where she had been laying on the sofa and suddenly felt a piercing tight pain in her calf. And then the muscle began to spasm. Upon examination, she noticed a puddle of blood at the point of impact. She checked for bees or anything else that could have caused the puncture in her leg, but found nothing.
Oh my God.
When Ed and Lorraine heard this story in conjunction with the tale of Bathsheba Sherman, aka the witch, who had been suspected of killing the infant with a knitting needle, Lorraine suggested that Bathsheba could have taken the needle with her to the afterlife and used it to stab Carolyn in the calf in a fit of jealous rage.
Oh.
Yikes.
That's not good.
No. Over the 10 years that the family lived in the house, yes, 10 years.
Why wouldn't you just get the hell out of there?
We'll get to that, but the Warrens made multiple trips to investigate their home.
Wow.
Lorraine even, at one point, conducted a seance in an attempt to contact the spirits that were tormenting the family, which, no, oh thank God. You at all.
No. People, mm-mm. Stay away.
Don't do seances. Because you're inviting in, like, not just the good, you're inviting in the bad, you know, the wicked, the evil.
Just leave. Just let the ghost have the house, and they can stay there, and you can find a different house. It's fine.
During the seance, it's reported that Carolyn became possessed, that she was speaking in tongues and rising from the ground in her chair.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Which I think there's a scene in The Conjuring that relates to this, event, I'm pretty sure. After the seance, Roger kicked the Warrens out, worried about his wife's mental stability. The daughters all claim that at first, Roger was actually not on board and completely unhappy about somebody else being brought into the situation, hence why he himself didn't reach out for help for their family. And there was also, like, some reports that, like, in the beginning, he didn't even believe Carolyn and the girls that this stuff was happening.
Oh, wow.
Because I guess he wasn't really witnessing much then.
All right.
Carolyn also never reached out herself in fear of being rejected or not believed, which, I mean, I guess I kind of get, but...
Yeah, I understand that, especially in that time. Like, I feel like anything could, like, tarnish your reputation.
Yeah, for sure. Despite all the efforts made by the Warrens, it did not seem to alleviate the paranormal activity at their house.
Wow.
According to the oldest daughter, Andrea, the family continued to live in the house due to financial instability.
Okay, I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Carolyn and Roger had poured all of their life savings into the house during the 1970s, and no one had the money to buy the 200-acre farm. It was literally losing value day by day. The economy had tanked due to failed policies and crisis in the Middle East, so the family was forced to remain in the haunted house for nearly a decade until they were finally able to move in 1980, at which point the hauntings ceased.
Wow, okay.
The family moved to Georgia to rebuild their lives, and they never looked back.
Good.
So, there was, like, reports from people who had lived in the house after the Perrin family had moved out, who said they didn't really experience the things that this family said that they experienced. But then I also read some reports where, like, people would move in the house and then immediately move out due to, like, what they were experiencing. So there was a lot of, like, differing information, which is, okay. You know, again, it depends on, like, the source and who's telling the retelling of the events that happened. But
right.
And there was also reports that the Perrin family, even though they no longer live on the property, are still being harassed by Bathsheba.
Oh, wow.
And that they believe that, like, she is, like, haunting them now as opposed to haunting the property.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's from their, you know, retelling of things that happened after the fact. So.
Right.
But that is my retelling of the events that happened at the Perrin family home in the 1970s. And it's pretty spooky. If you haven't seen The Conjuring, go check it out. It's a pretty spooky movie if you like haunted scary movies. If you don't do it, because you won't have a good time.
Nope.
Yeah, but yep, that's it. That's all I got for you guys today. I hope you liked that. I hope you enjoyed something a little different. We've been, you know, trying to throw some spooky stuff in since it is spooky season.
Yeah, that was really good.
Thanks.
I feel like I got my dose of spooky without having to watch a spooky movie, so yeah. Thank you.
There is a photo of, it's like from the 1800s, and they say that the woman in the middle, which I don't know how they would really know this, but is Bathsheba Sherman. I'm going to post that on our Instagram page, along with some other photos from the family and the hauntings and so on. And I'll post a couple pictures of Ed and Lorraine, of course, on our Instagram at @inhuman_podcast. So make sure you're following us over there. And if you haven't already, rate and review.
Yeah. And we'll also post a photo of our Halloween costumes, which I still haven't gotten mine, but it's fine. But you guys should go over there and let us know what your Halloween costumes are going to be this year.
Yeah, let us know. We want to hear. I love like themed, like family themed costumes. So if you guys are doing that, definitely share pics, because I love seeing stuff like that. But that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until Monday, keep it human.
Bye.